Welcome to a very special episode of the Brohio Podcast. We have a little interview with one of the cult heroes of the show, Brickzilla. And sorry, guys, I'm here all by myself. The way the interview worked out, unfortunately, Rob was, this took place in the middle of the night. So, unfortunately, it didn't work out, but we are so grateful that Brickzilla took an hour out of his busy schedule to come on the Brohio Podcast, and Brickzilla delivered. And what I didn't know, Brickzilla has a very interesting backstory. And for those of you that don't know who Brickzilla is, in case you want to turn this episode off or turn it on, if you know what I'm saying, Brickzilla is one of the top male stars in the adult film industry right now. Last check, he's got about a 13-inch penis with about a 7.5-inch diameter girth. So it's a pretty good sized sausage, if for those of you keeping track at home. And if you go to your little Google search box and you type in Brickzilla, you can get some pictures back of old Brick. Got him a big old hook on him. It's a big one. Big and scary, but apparently Brickzilla knows how to work it. You know, get that thing going, get it popping. But he's out in California right now filming some scenes, and he took the time to swoop on by the Brohio Podcast, give us a little about an hour of content. We are very thankful for that. And just as a disclaimer, folks, Brickzilla does indeed use some very colorful language, and for the spirit of transparency and the unapologetic nature of this show, for 5 years I didn't edit anything out. So while he may use some colorful language that we don't necessarily use on this show, just know that it's no thought or I guess no direct reflection on old Rob Dog and I and how we feel and how we speak. But you know, different people live in different parts of the world and they communicate in different ways. But we're all on the same rock, floating through space, doing our thing, and that's why we that all brings us together. But I just want to give that quick disclaimer. As you know, he is an adult film star. He's been in the game for about 3 or 4 years now, and I think he's about 51. So it's an interesting story, guys, and he's going to tell it in this interview. If it's for you, stick around. If it's not for you, no sweat off our back. You know, we're grateful. We're thankful for you guys always being here. So now would be the opportunity to get out of town, maybe go back to the Tall Hot Blonde episode. That's a funny one. Or Michael Jackson, Neverland Ranch, Our Origins. Lots of good episodes you could go back to and listen if this just isn't for you. But 3 episodes this week, that's exciting stuff. Hopefully that can be the new norm. That would be great, wouldn't it? Be great for everybody. So again, guys, this is adult film star Brickzilla on the Brohio Podcast, and that interview is starting after a quick word from a couple of our sponsors. All right, fighting out of Colorado Springs, Colorado, with a reach of 13 inches and a girth of 7.5 inches around, he's one of the true kings of the adult film industry and the fucking coolest cat we'll ever have on the Brohio Podcast. Welcome to the show, Brickzilla, thank you so much for being here, sir.
Yeah, thank you for even having the boy on the show, man. It's welcome to be here. What's good with you, man?
You know, it's a Monday night. You know, I'm doing Monday shit. Your Monday shit's probably a little different than my Monday shit. I made pigs in a blanket for the kids, and you know, some French fries, running around this place like a fucking clean like Cinderella. I got a couple hours myself to do this podcast and to talk to Brickzilla. So I'm over the moon, man. Like I told you before, you're like a fucking hero on this show. I got guys, I got girls. They're following you all over. Everybody knows about Brickzilla now. So
wow, man. That's dope. That's dope. I just wanna do the best porn as possible. You know what I mean? Make guaps, take care of my kids, man. You were saying what you was doing all day. That was sounding lovely.
Yeah.
You know, that's the life, hey. That's what's bomb right there, taking care of the kids, man.
I will say this is a cool gig, man. You got a cool gig, I got a cool gig doing this podcast, but at the end of the day, the best job I've ever had is being a dad to three little girls. So I know you can probably, you probably rock with that, but that's the coolest part of me. This podcast, this is just a character, man, but, being a dad,
that's the coolest part of being a dad, man, is because like when I first became a dad, I had got an energy that was like, was a strength that I never knew I had. I could do any and everything without a doubt for them, you know?
Yeah, man, it's that dad strength.
And I felt like they was a gift to me.
Yes, sir.
You know, just to give me that strength, you know?
Yeah.
So it's very dope.
Well, I feel that, man. And again, I don't even know if I introduced myself. My name's Nick. My co-host, he's Rob, but he's done went to the house. He usually eats dinner late about this time. He gets a big, fat, nasty Whopper at Burger King, and he goes home and he eats that nasty shit. So, but I'm here by myself, and we're gonna have a good interview. I'm sure I'm not gonna hit you with anything too crazy that you haven't been asked before. I've watched some of your interviews on YouTube. It's good shit. I think you got you definitely got some good stories, man. But I just want to go to the beginning, how you got into the industry, because just kind of like doing my research, I can only find videos going back maybe 2 or 3 years, but I don't know how long you've been in the game. But how did you kind of break into this?
Yeah, I'm gonna break it. I'm gonna be dead ass, right? You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna front you and shit. I was doing demolition and I was bubbling weed in the projects in Brooklyn on Clifton between Marcy and Nostrand and shit, you know?
Yeah.
So, boy, I'm staying with my stepmom, sleeping on the couch type shit. You know, I'm just complacent and satisfied, making sure everybody got toilet paper, liquor, drinks, and weed for the night, you know, rent paid. Then my stepsister, she comes to me. She was like, yo, you know, everybody called me Born at the time, you know what I'm saying? It's like, yo, Born, listen, man. I love you, Born, but you bigger than the couch, man. You got to get up off that. You got to, like, I know you love being here, taking care of us, making sure we good, security for the door and all that. We all females in here, but my dude, you got to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not that nobody wants you here. We don't even want you to go, but you got to. She was like, yo, you know, we your stepsisters. We all seen you, you know, got a big ass dick. You know what I'm saying? I could be a stripper or something. And you can make mad quack. You know what? Dead ass. So I started Googling. So I figured, you know, I don't know how to do it. So I figured you do it how you do it. So I said, I went in the Google box. I said, jobs for dudes with big dicks. You know what I'm saying? So boom, right? So then this thing, Ken's website came across sexy jobs. So Boom, say, yo, you know, I was bugging anyway. I was always getting high, dick get hard as hell, drinking mad goodness stout. You know, nobody looking. Take pictures of my dick. It's like, man, shit look kind of crazy. Look at that all. So I had those shits already on deck, you know what I'm saying? Because I used to be on Facebook and shit, and they be having the private groups, you know, the shits where they change the name every 2 days.
Yeah.
And shit, everybody fucking knowing there. As soon as I post my dick, I get reported. I didn't even know they had Facebook jail for 6 months at a time. Niggas shut me down. One picture. Straight up there fucking eating ass and too licking toes, shit, and doing all kind of shit. Yeah, as soon as I put my jaw up there, shit went boom, boom. So boom. So I said, it must be about something, you know what I mean? Because I don't look at dicks. You know, I would have to be a looker of many dicks to know that my dick was abnormal and I'm not a looker of dicks.
I respect that, dude.
So boom, right? So, you know, I'm starting to expect this through these things and certain reactions from women because, like, you got to understand, I'm fucking with Brooklyn chicks.
Yeah.
They ain't going to let you know you got it if you don't know you got it. You know what I'm saying? They ain't going to put you on. Okay. Yeah, I ain't going to give you a big head, dude. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, so I put my own profile pics up there, you know, for sexy jobs. And the dude Mike Dirty from doghouse.com hit me up. This is like 2018 going into 19. You know what I mean? Boom. Did this little BJ video for like an Omar audition. The next thing I know, I was filming. You know, and then like filming for a minute, you know what I'm saying? And then I stopped for a while. I guess I had put in so many films, he had to put shit out.
Yeah.
So that block was drying up and I was doing demolition and getting like 80 cash a day and shit.
Damn, man.
Yeah, son, I'm doing dead ass demolition. Like I mean, because I would bug out. You know, I like to work out and shit. Yeah. I like doing stuff. So they send me in a room. I break the whole shit down. Be walking on motherfucking slats and shit like this by the time I finish with it. You know what I'm saying? So I had $80 a day. I was like, fuck it. I'm getting guap. I need guap. I like guap. I like to get things. You know what I'm saying? Pulling a little weed on the side. So I ain't, you know what I'm saying? So after a while, I'm sitting there. Here goes the most amazing part of the story, right? So I remember, because I want things. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm figuring in my head, you got these dudes that build a building. They get paid a certain amount of guaps.
Yeah.
Then you got the dudes that watch the dudes to build the buildings. They get more than the dudes to build the buildings.
Yeah.
And then you got the dude that drew the building that didn't even bang a hammer, get more than all of them. I said, how can I build the building? Because I'm tired of tearing this shit down for 80 cash a day.
Yeah.
So, boom, I remember I was locked up one time up in downstate. I was just coming fresh off the island for a bed, for a ratchet, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm like this. No, just fresh off the bus. No, I'm big, strong. The food ain't up to par because I ain't laid my game down to get no commissary yet.
I feel you.
I'm like, yo, what I would, I said, I imagine myself drinking some cold milk because, like, that's my favorite drink is like whole milk, you know? So I'm imagine drinking, I've been tasting and shit. Next thing I know, like 20 minutes later, dude knock on the cell. Yo, we about to throw these milks out. We just got them out the freezer. We don't want to throw them away. We want to see if you want some. Six cold milks. So I said, oh, shit. There's something to this shit.
Yeah.
Right? So after the film didn't pop for a while, I was sitting with my shorty and I was like, let me try that shit. Cause you know, I used to go to church and whatnot. I used to hear the preacher say, when two or more gathered in my name and agree on a thing, the thing is. So that popped into my head. Then the Lord's Prayer popped in my head that ask as if it is already, and it is. So I was like, ooh, how you do that? So I did it cause I had got milk delivered to me. Boom, I know it sound bugged out now, kid, but this shit working. I'm talking to you doing it now in California,
you
heard?
So
I'm like this, yo, ma, look, dig. So this is the two or more.
Yeah.
So I said, yo, wouldn't that be ill if somebody pay me for my dirty underwear? Give me $50 for my dirty underwear. And at that time, I had a little Tumblr. And I had got 1,000 likes on the picture. And I was like, I got 1,000 likes on the picture? How can I turn that into 1,000 pieces of guap?
Yeah.
You know? So then, next thing you know, I don't know what happens in the oomph of the boomph or whatever you call it. Sure. But once I think it and I say it with somebody that love me and they agree on it, that shit just happens. So now I'm reading in the DM, hey, could I buy a pair of your dirty underwear? I'll pay you $50. I said, oh.
That's, you know, the hair on
the back of my neck, right? I'm like, oh. So I said, let me try something else. So I said, it works good when it's shit you really, really motherfucking want.
Okay.
So I said, yeah. I said, yo, ma, wouldn't that be ill if a motherfucker was flying me in and out of state just to take pictures of the kid? Wouldn't that be ill? Boom! 2 weeks later, nigga hit me up on the titty-dumbler saying, yo, I want to do a photo shoot when you got your flight that I tell me what you got.
Real money.
That's just all it is.
Wow.
So it's like every 6 months, it's like an elevation. I only been in the game since 2018, but I got it into a creamy time. Into a wet time, into a like aquatic time, into a time that's good for manifestation of thoughts. This is the time where everything builds. This is the time where motherfuckers even get instant karma. Back in the day, it used to take you a long time to get some drama back you did to a motherfucker. Now they got it on YouTube, happened right back to that ass.
Yeah.
But the other side of that is true too with the manifestation.
Right.
Yeah. So
if you think it and you can dream it, you can fucking build it, buddy.
Yeah, it's not even, but dig what I'm saying. The profundity of the perfect present tense. There's no could in that. It already is.
Yeah.
Look at the word ready. Then you have already. And then you put already is to it. That's the profundity of the perfect present tense. That's how you ask as if it is. So it's a different form of speech, a different form of verbs that you use. All action, all perfect presence. Not I will, I do, I am.
You're like,
because will won't give off the vibration of will.
You're like a motivational speaker and a porn star wrapped in one, man. That's like the 2-for-1 deal.
You think so, man? Now, I just don't want nobody to think that it's no big dick shit that did this, because it's a lot of dudes with big dicks, man.
That ain't doing shit.
That's just what I'm saying. I'm trying to let everybody know it's this.
In your head.
As a man thinketh, so is he. Yeah. As a woman thinketh, so is she. As we all think, so are we.
Recording in progress.
Powerful shit, man. I dig it.
I just chose to be a porn star. I could have been anything I wanted to be. I'm magic. You're magic. We all is motherfucking magic.
I feel you, man.
You is by telling you who you is. Like, they give you information, but they misinform you.
Yeah.
Let you know that you are a god.
Yeah.
They don't let you know. No, matter of fact, they let you know that you are a god, but they don't let you know you are god. Because we all one. We all collective motherfuckers.
We are.
You understand what I'm saying? We all the same motherfuckers, man. We just different shapes from manifestations from my thought, from my past histories of life, or whatever the fuck you trying to do. Pick up some weights, nigga.
Yeah, you're right, man. Powerful stuff.
Like, I go through tribulations in my life with certain females. That's only because I choose to. You know, when I choose a dead dad, I'm a dead dad, but I'm not a heinous dude. You know what I mean? I like to let shit just, you know, bite your own ass type shit.
Yeah.
That's it, you know?
Well, now that we laid down your origin story, man, let me start to ask you some of these nitty-gritty questions, if you're okay with that.
Let's get it. I'm okay with it.
And I want to go back before you were Brickzilla, man. I want to go back when you're 18, 19, 20 years old, hanging out, doing your thing. Did you have an easy time with the ladies growing up, or did you how was that for you when you were kind of coming of age?
Something's telling me to be honestly true.
Yeah, man, let's do it.
Because I'll stutter. It'd be unflavorful if I was to fib, and it's not in my nature. So
right.
I was like brought up in a home that was with a lot of pain, stress, and anger.
Okay.
You know, where I feared for my life there.
Okay.
Anyway, things happen. The reason that I did fear for my life, to make a long story short on that note, and I left home around 15, 16. During them things that's going on, I was not able to enthrall or put myself into the social activities of dating or wonder if anybody was looking at me. I didn't even have the type of attire that anybody else wore at that time. I was somewhat of an outcast.
Okay.
I was looked at as the quiet bug nigga that might fuck you up.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know nothing about talking to a girl. So in my youngest years was spent basically homeless.
Trying to survive, man.
Yeah, so an incident happened in my house where I had to leave.
Sure, okay.
My life would be finished if I don't leave here. And I wasn't built like that yet to like protect myself against somebody that raised me.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
So I left. I walked from Plainfield, New Jersey, all the way to Newark, New Jersey on the train tracks. That's a long story in itself.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, doing the homeless stuff, started running into females, things like that. Most of them old. I got a big dick. Went through a lot of the things with the bitches trying to control me because I didn't know nothing.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I didn't know how a chick could give it up.
Right.
I didn't know how a dude could give it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I'd be the flyest nigga there, not even knowing it. I'm going to store for niggas in front of bitches, but I'm thinking I'm just being a good dude to the person that I'm renting the room from. But in reality, they playing me in front of the bitches because they can see my dick swinging through my pants, but I don't know.
That's heavy shit, man.
So it was shit like that. So it's like, I went through so much that everything I'm getting makes me realize that, yo, you know what? You was wrong. They was wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You are somebody. You know? It ain't just your dick. It just happened to be that nobody liked you at one point. Now everybody on your dick, and it should be like that.
Yeah.
You played me. Like, I'm talking about getting played out. I'll be with my homeboys. Like, I never knew how shit goes. A bunch of chicks around. Yo, boom, man, go to the store for me right quick. Go to the LQ. Yeah, I got you, my dude. Boom, boom, boom. When I'm gone, boom, boom, coming back. Shorty come back downstairs. She was like, yo, why you let niggas play you like that? Like, what you mean? Like, you going to the store for niggas? I said, yo, those my niggas. Like, nah, I know how you looking at it, but they not putting it like that.
Right.
Then I had to go through, because, like, you know, at that time, I was built like that.
Mm-hmm.
See? So I'm like, yo, how I'm going to handle these niggas? And then I say, yo, just leave it alone. You know what I mean? I just gravitate to a different part of the country. Different part of, you know, New York or something before. You know what I mean? So, like, that year's right there, I didn't know nothing.
Yeah.
I actually found out that my dick was amazingly huge in 2018.
Really? That wasn't that long ago.
That wasn't that long ago.
Well, to stop you, I don't know if anyone's ever told you, man, but I'm proud of you for overcoming all that shit. That's a lot of trials and tribulations and struggles that you had to fight through, and I'm proud of you for overcoming all that. You're a successful man now, and you're here with us, and you got a story to tell. You're not just a dick, man. You got a story to tell of, you know, surviving, of coming out on the other end when a lot of people like you, probably 9 times out of 10, didn't come out. You got to get lost in the middle someplace, but you got over it. You got through it, and here you are, man. You're here to tell your story. So, from one man to another, I'm proud of you for overcoming all that shit, man.
I appreciate it, but I appreciate all of that, man. You know, I appreciate all of that. But I kind of look at it is that I am so grateful for going through the shits.
Yeah. It built you, man. It turns you into who you are today, so.
Yeah, because, like, there was a point where there was a lot of years I dealt with depression because of regret. Of going through shit. Oh, why did she do this to me? Why did they do that to me? Why did they, you know what I'm saying? And then it got to a point that's like, yo, you know, I'm tired of feeling like that. Something else got to give. You know what I'm saying? Then I realized it took, like, getting into, like, heinous situations and being built for it and getting out of it to say, okay, that's why that happened, because I meant to go through this a little, you know what I'm saying? So I know I'm good.
Right.
Because it's like the worst thing that happened to me, I was good, even though it was going down.
Yeah.
And that showed me that I'm always good. That's how I was able to leave New York and come move to Florida. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was during the pandemic. They had me booked up to do all kind of shoots, and the pandemic hit. Boom. Everything did it.
Yeah.
You know? It was just the power of the laws of the universe that I was able to stay in the hotels for months on a time.
Yeah.
With my girl and my son, you understand what I'm saying? Not working, you know what I'm saying? Just getting OnlyFans money and manifestation bread.
Yeah.
But I knew I could do it.
You did it, man.
I knew I could do it. And it was like, so, like, it was the pandemic, so the hotels was a little cheaper. Had whole hotels to ourselves. Like, you know, it was crazy. It was like fucked up but dope at the same time.
Yeah, there was a lot of people that...
It happened to me. I don't even look at it as nothing bad. I look at it as like a gift.
Yeah. I definitely got to spend a lot more time with my family during the pandemic, and we got to bond a little more than we normally would have, for sure.
Right. A lot of people got to find themselves. A lot of people quit work, started making their own guaps.
Doing their own shit, man.
A lot of barbers went out of business. Somebody in the house learned how to cut everybody's shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy, man. It's dope. It's how it's supposed to be, man. Yeah. You know? It's how it's supposed to be. I love life. And I'm happy everything happened. I wouldn't change a goddamn thing.
Beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you said you kind of didn't have this revelation about your shit until like 2018. Leading up to that, you never had like anybody in your life say, man, that is the fucking biggest dick that I've ever seen in my life, you know?
So when I got to tell you how unaware I was with shit, right? I would see it after I found out, like I would be with my stepsisters and then I would see in my head how the shit, you know, I come in the room and everybody's sitting there going like this. But I didn't notice it at the time. You know, some said, oh, they looking at my dick.
Yeah.
It's like they not going, it's like the type of females I was dealing with, they wasn't just going to put you on, because I guess dudes they was dealing with, if you know about yourself, you're going to, you know, don't want your head to get big, you're going to try to front, you know what I'm saying? So
yep.
It was like I was never really put on like that. It's like try to keep it a secret type shit.
So you never, like, when you were experiencing intimacy before all this wild ride started, you never said, like, listen, I gotta warn you, I'm not like these other dudes. Like, I'm built a little bit fucking different before you.
Nah, I would never say that. I just pulled a dick out and they'd be like, oh my God, is it? It took like for me to hear that about 20, 30 times for me, like, okay, I must have a big dick.
Now, I know there's probably a lot of haters associated with this. Have you ever been accused of having a fake dick? That was one question that Rob had. I was like, he's probably, you know, there's probably people who've accused him of that before.
Yeah, I saw a dude on Twitter. He said, that's a fake dick. And I was like, if this dude only knew, I wonder how much guaps it take to make a fake dick. I wouldn't care how much dick I did it didn't have. I wouldn't spend that on no dick.
No,
do something with that guap. I know that got to cost some guap, like at least 2, 3, 4 G's or some shit. I'm not. Come on, where I'm getting that to spend on a dick? What you eating after that?
I'm trying to go to Applebee's. I'm not trying to buy a fake dick, you know?
You trying to buy a fake dick and you need sneakers and shit. Your shit leaning in the back. You in Harlem with your Nikes leaning in the back. No, not. You know, even a bum's got fresh feet in Harlem. You know you can't do those.
Have you ever been with somebody that, like, once they did see it, they're like, no, fuck this, fuck that, yeah, we're not doing that shit, I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Yeah,
that's happened. Like,
I was on set one time and that happened. Shorty was like, hey, oh, nah, fuck, hey, that's not going, I'll give you some money, you ain't, that's not. I was like, no, I felt a little kind of way because I wanted to get it in, but you know, I was like, it's all good, you know.
Yeah, I can't, that's money on the table, man. You can't walk away from that. I guess you can, but.
Yeah. It is what it is, though, you know?
Yeah, I can imagine that I would have thought that it would have happened more, well, maybe not on set, but I would have thought that, hey, that's probably happened to him quite a few times in his life.
Yeah, that happened a couple times.
How does, I guess, when you're trying to draw that fine line between your personal life and Brickzilla, you know, it may be different for you, but I can't be the character that I portray on this podcast all the time. There's a fine line between, you know, Nick the dad and then Nickalicious that does the podcast. How do you go about defining that line between, you know, I guess your personal relationships and then the, you know, the on-screen relationships that you have to portray for the camera?
Well, this is the thing, right? There's really no fine line. It's okay. All messed together and put together dope. You know what I'm saying? Like Lego sets and shit. There's no But only thing with this shit, once you put it together, it just meshes and shit. There's no lines in that shit and spaces, because, like, I'm Brickzilla. Like, I love the fuck.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So if I'm home, I'm loving the fuck, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't portray nothing. When I'm getting on that screen with this girl, I'm loving the fucker.
Yeah.
You understand? I mean, there's no really differentiation. Brickzilla is the essence of me, is the monster of me, giving my all to everything and enjoying everything. So there's no fine line. I'm always, if I'm talking to my daughter, my voice is the same. My gesticulations is the same. You know what I mean? Not use the curses, of course, but you know, boom. You know what I'm saying? It's still the same demeanor, because, like, I am who I am. And, like, you know, in this millennium, there's no future in fronting, and I can't do that girl, you know?
Yeah. Just a real dude. Just a real motherfucker.
All the way around. Like today, look, Dig, right? On the plane on the way ahead, right? So, you know, dude behind me on the plane, you know, I guess he got long-ass legs and shit. You know, I just keep feeling the back of my ass getting rubbed on. Like, you know, so I'm being easy because, you know, oh, hi. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So I said, excuse me. You know, and I even made sure I didn't put too much larceny in the tone to make him feel like he had to be combative. Did my best. It's like, excuse me. You will have to stop rubbing your knees across my ass in the back of the chair. I mean, how nice can you say that?
Yeah.
So, boom. He goes and does it again, right? So I goes like this. I said, you felt that? That's because your knees was on my ass. You wasn't supposed to feel that.
That was.
So then he acts like, I guess he's used to, like, I guess, I know, I think for other people, I know people don't know who I is. I know they don't know how swift and good these things work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? These things work like Jason Bourne for real on it. Yo. Anyway, right? I know he doesn't know that.
Right.
You know? So, yo, he's getting gully, yo, this and that, saying all of this and that. So I'm easy, right? Because I'm easy. And then we get off the plane after all of this popping boku shit, after I already knew this. You know what I'm saying? He don't even want to get on the bus. I was like, don't get on the bus. Now I miss your shit because you was popping shit and think I'm going to fuck you up. But all I'm going to do is laugh at you.
Softer than baby shit, dude.
Yeah, softer than baby shit. One, I already knew motherfucker wanted none of these. And I just got straight Scud missiles, son. Like, shit.
That was actually one of my questions. I was like, you know, looking at some of your stuff, trying to do my research on my end. I was like, dude's kind of shaped like an athlete. And I didn't know kind of what's your, you got a workout regimen or you got a diet you stick to, or how do you keep that? You got to stay in shape for the camera, man. What's the secret behind all that?
I run a sixth of a mile every morning, wake up at 4. Well, I was going to do the Superman regimen shit, but I'm like, if I don't drink, right, which, like, probably, I try to drink like twice out the month. Like, some days, like, I really should be on it every other day, but, like, I probably work out 4 times a week.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to really be doing it, like, in the days off doing yoga, but I run a sixth of a mile, basically, let's keep it real, 3 times a week, work out, like, probably 4 times a week around 4 o'clock in the morning.
Hell yeah.
I do a lot of yoga, you know what I mean, resistance bands and shit. Because for some reason, those form you real right, the resistance band.
Yeah, those are good.
I like them better than weight. For some reason, I like my pump after I use them more than my pump with my weight, with weights.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Hit a lot of resistance band, you know, a box, you know, I got the bag in the crib, box, all of that, kit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Just stay in shape because, like, I know, the strong I am, the strong I look, the better I look, the better I'm going to look on screen. So it's like every workout is making me make a better scene and shit. You know what I mean?
Is there, when you're getting into that mindset, like you're going into a scene, I guess there's a certain, you have a certain regimen you go through to get yourself worked up to where you need to be, or you just show up and, like, you see the girl and you're like, I'm ready to fucking go? Or is there like some, what, like, what's your process to work up to where you need to be, where the, we can turn the fucking cameras on?
So it get, tell him to give me 10 minutes.
Yep.
Okay. I'm gonna just keep it real with you.
Keep it real, man. I mean, like, okay, I said, so you're like, a fucking hero here. Like, so this is all you.
Like, I position myself in places to look at the girl in a creepish manner.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I might be, she's over there getting dressed. You know, I'm about to film with it, so there's nothing wrong with it, but I might, you know, play with myself, shit, do my little stretches and shit, and make up a scenario in my head. Once I got the right scenario, it's on and crack it.
Have you ever struggled before? I know some guys struggle.
Yeah.
I've never struggled in my fucking life, which I guess that's a blessing in itself. But how do you get past that mental block when you're kind of dealing with the nerves or whatever's got you not working?
Just
consistency, or
it's that you just do what you got to do. If something don't work, it just don't work that time, and that's all it is.
Yeah,
because it works more than it doesn't work.
Yeah, I can. I mean,
at the same goddamn time, who's like, Jesus Christ, serious? What's working like that?
What's like
once or twice really ain't gonna fucking matter.
What's a busy, like a busy week for Brickzilla? What's that look like? How many scenes are you doing in a week?
Three. That's a busy week, yeah.
I feel like that's all
might be 10 straight.
Yeah.
Do it fucking 10 straight for the month.
Okay. That feels like a good balance where you're not burning yourself out. You can still, you know, I guess, deliver like you need to deliver and still be, you know, still be good.
I mean, it's the total mindset of the situation that will carry you through anything. Solomon had many wives, 1,000 concubines, and fucked them all. I'm a king, too.
Yes, sir.
You know, so it's like, because I looked at it, it was like, so, I mean, I'm supposed to say I'm getting tired of getting pussy?
No, man. You're living.
No, it's not. I mean, like, let's fuck all day. There's times I did two scenes back to back. Like, I worked for Pinky XXX and did two scenes back to back.
That's tough. You know what
I mean? I like to work like that.
Okay.
I feel very efficient on days like that.
Yeah.
You know, like, real truculent.
Yeah. Well, you earned your fucking, you earned your money that day.
Yeah. The director's happy. You know, got a serious thumb shot. We just made some good motherfucker.
Oh. Earned your guap that fucking day. That's right.
Earned my guaps for sure. Okay. All the guaps.
That's good.
Have him looking at me like he might want to give me a tip and shit.
I guess you can name drop if you want, but do you have a favorite talent that you've worked with so far that you're like kind of looking forward to moving, you know, circling back and doing that again? Are you not allowed to say names? I don't know the professional etiquette when it comes to this.
I mean, I don't know the etiquette either, but I know every time I think I found a favorite one, I get another favorite one and favorite one and favorite one. Then I can't say which one's the favorite one. Because all of them is favored in different categories of the shit I like. And it's like, everybody is just dope. Like, I will film with all of them again.
Yeah.
Anytime. Like, look at them. Like, Jesus Christ. Like,
yeah. So, you haven't had a bad experience yet?
Nah.
And even if you did, it's all right.
Even if I did, like, a bad experience is going to occur.
That's going to happen. Yeah.
I'll react to the experience if it's actually bad or not. Like, you know what? Like, some shit could happen to somebody. Like, it's like this. Like, I put myself like this. You know how some shit could happen to somebody else and you hear about it, you're like, oh shit, all right. But that shit happened to you and hit home, the same shit, but it hit home. Right? You know what I'm saying? I just realized that shit ain't happening to me and it's not happening to me in my home at all. So
everybody like, can have a bad day at work.
Yeah, so like but I just distance myself situation because I'm a hands-on type of dude.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to cause no problem or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not going to be, you know, in a detrimental situation either. So, but it's never been nothing like that. Everything is cookie crunch.
Do you have a plan right now? You're saying to yourself, like, all right, I'm going to get this fucking bread for 10 years. And then it's a wrap. Are you trying, you just trying to do it until the wheels fall off? Or what are you thinking?
I don't know, man. It's like I'm so entrenched in the total comprehension of this law of the universe, man, that it doesn't matter. I could do whatever I want, whenever I want.
Just here fucking living.
Like, it's like I'm in a paradise type land. I'm just walking and I'm thinking of stuff and it's bloop, falling on the ground. You know?
Why would you ever want to stop? I feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for the dudes out there that aren't blessed with a 13-inch monster, what kind of advice would you give to the guy that, you know, is kind of working with the average equipment? I guess what kind of sex advice would you give him to make sure he's the best lover that he can be?
Be your motherfucking self all the way. Cause that's what a bitch really like.
Yeah, it's all about that.
The energy, man.
Yeah, I will say. I will say that, man. You're a fucking vibe. So that's pretty cool. You're a cool dude. You cool cat.
Dead ass. Good lucky.
Well, like I said, I had lots of questions you've probably been asked 1,000 times before, but. Let's go back to our theme real quick for a second. Have you ever had any paranormal experiences, maybe a ghost or a spirit or anything that you kind of like, hey, what the fuck was that? Or any type of seen a creature in the night, anything? I see you smiling, man. You got something to tell me. What kind of shit have you dealt with like that before?
Okay, so me and my cousin, right? I got the goosebumps. You see him?
I see him, man. You're grinning, man. You got something to tell me.
So me and my cousin, right, we like to, we used to stay in the den and shit at night. You know, back in the day, you click the cable box and try to look at the titties and shit between the squiggly lines and shit.
Yeah, I was there.
We trying to get the titties. Oh, that's a nipple, nigga. Oh, look at that shit. No, that was a pussy. He's like, no, it wasn't. So, yeah, I used to joke with us. You don't know if that was a man's butt. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. You don't know. Yeah, I used to play with him like that and shit, you know.
Yeah.
So one night we fell out and the couch is like right here. It's a glass table here. And then the TV, you know, one of the big floor model shits to sit on the floor to stay on for you.
My favorite.
Shit you could close up like that and shit, right? Magnavox or some shit, right? So boom, right? We had pushed the table a little closer to the thing, right? Because we were spinning these like tops and shit on the while we was laying, because he's laying this way on the couch, I'm laying this way, and we spinning these tops on the table, like, you know, trying to fight them and spin them to each other. So boom, we about to fall asleep when I swear to, this how crazy it was, because both of us saw it. We saw some shit had to be about this tall. Wow. You know how like you can see a silhouette or something?
Yeah.
You can't see it, but you can see it.
Yeah.
A big head like this. It looked like it was green. It had spots on it and some long ass motherfucking arms. Mm. And the asthma pump was on the table. My asthma pump was on the table. And when it walked by like this, and the fingertips hit the asthma pump, and the asthma pump was spinning like this. And the shit just walked through the door. So me and him, we were scared to death, right? So me and him looked. We got up and looked. The motherfucker was already over the hill, and then we saw a light.
And you guys both saw that?
We both saw it, and we kept asking him, yo, you saw that? You saw that? Oh my God, no, we was asking each other, we knew we both saw it. Because we had the same reaction at the same time. We went right upstairs, didn't sleep down there no more.
I feel good right now because I feel like that's one of the first times you've shared that story on like a on a recording platform before.
I've shared that story with anybody, other than my cousin when we talked about it and shit.
You said it walked outside, like through the wall?
It walked through, like they had like my cousins, they was kind of rich. So they had like the big patio with the sliding glass door and the den type shit, you know, basement TV shit. So it walked through all of that. It had walked, the motherfucker had walked through the wall over here where the bar was at, past the TV and hit the Azure top. That shit was spinning like, and we were spinning tops.
Yeah.
That shit. Yo, that shit was like, and it had just hit it. And the motherfucker walked right through. And by the time it had got like, how it was getting lighter, it was disappearing as it got lighter. As the light got lighter towards the sliding glass door.
Yeah.
But you could still see that it went through the shit. Yo, that shit.
What do you think it was?
We believed it was an alien.
Oh, because
it was like an alien. It looked like an alien. That's the only thing we could explain the shit. We didn't want to think it was a ghost. I would rather think an alien than a ghost. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because like, you motherfucker, you might not come back here and shit. You know what I'm saying?
Well, one of my next questions was, I was going to ask you about aliens, but I was about to say, that thing you just described to me sounded kind of extraterrestrial in itself. Like it was just kind of on a mission. You guys were kind of, you guys are kind of lucky you didn't experience more than what you experienced right there, I would say.
Yeah.
That's good shit. But yeah. Is that the only, is that kind of the only paranormal experience you've ever had in your life, or is there anything else?
That's basically the only other time, man.
That's a good one. That's a good one, though. That's
basically the only other time, man.
Yeah.
And that was enough for me.
Yeah. Do you believe in like extraterrestrial life, or you think there's aliens out there? What's your
I don't want to be dogmatic or anything. I happen to know there is.
Okay.
How stingy my mind would be to think that I'm the only life in this universe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I preach.
That makes sense. Yo, there's times when I smoke a blunt where I make bars that are so hard. I know them niggas sent them to me because they didn't come from Earth.
Yeah. Well, my thing is when I'm kind of reflecting on this stuff, I'll just go outside and look into the sky. And then I think to myself, you know, that vast darkness in the sky, that shit goes on forever. It never fucking ends. For as long as time and space, this what you see, it never ends. So how selfish of me would it be to say, hey, I'm the only dude like this? There's a lot of people that believe there's like alternate universes where everything plays out exactly like it plays out here. So it's just it's like a film on repeat where that's the same thing happening over and over. But I don't know if I necessarily believe that, but I think there's other life forms out there.
I happen to believe in different dimensions where I happen to believe for strong reasons that they're like right on the side of me. It's another dimension going on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I happen to believe there's another dimension where, you know, I'm this kind of person. I'm that kind of person. I happen to believe there's a dimension for every, like, you know, state of mind a person can be in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I believe it has to be. You know what I'm saying?
And that's what a lot of people describe, kind of like what you saw in your cousin's living room, that there's like a veil between dimensions. And every once in a while when the energy and the world is just right, see it. You whatever is there, you can see it pass through just like a little ripple in time, whether it's you know, something like that, extraterrestrial, or even something as silly as like a Bigfoot or a ghost. That it's just kind of like that veil just breaks for just a moment, and you can kind of experience what's on the other side of that on the other side of that curtain, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, now I had an angelic experience.
Okay.
You know, I had an angelic experience. I was living in the Bronx, right? And anyway, I'm big homie, and I had like a house full of, it was like a whole lot of people there, they was like, you know, my homies and stuff, but they was from a different side or whatever, you know? So came to a thing that I was just coming into like, getting to understand this shit with these chicks, like, because they started coming around me a lot. I thought maybe because I was bubbling weed, they was coming around.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But anyway, long story short, they seen that I was strong. I had these, but that was like by myself. I ain't had my own homies. I was always with the bitches.
Yeah.
And so came to one night, they foamed on me, tried to kill me. You know what I'm saying? And there was a point where it was all going down and everything slowed down and I was getting hit with bats. And I actually like seen like wings like coming over me. And then like, cause they was fighting in the kitchen earlier and broke the window out. So the window was already broke.
Yeah.
I ran on a fire escape and I had took my do-rag off and my head was busted. Nothing but blood just came in my eye. And son said, just run and just jump. I couldn't see nothing. And I swore to God, son carried me. Cause like I'm jumping over the fire escape this way. And the ladder's here. I just jump and I find myself on the ladder.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Came down and jumped over two other extremely high fences, which I really don't know how.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I do remember seeing like literal, kind of like cellophane, but like you can see it, like it's there, but you have to really look. And I mean, I'm talking like when it was boom, it was just, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, yo, that's what really gave me the understanding that the law of universe worked. Cause like, if that happened, cause I was like, there was nothing, I didn't work out that hard where I could have took them blows like that. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's deep.
I didn't, there was nothing in me or about me that was built like that.
Yeah.
I was supposed to meet my demise. You understand what I'm saying?
But you didn't.
But I didn't. That was an angelic, because I literally, and that wasn't the first time I seen the wings. There was one time I was homeless, and it was so cold in Brooklyn, and I was just checking car doors, because I had to sleep. I was so tired.
Yeah.
And the car door was open, and I laid down, and I just swore, you know, it was cold, but my feet were hurting. Son said, take your shoes and your socks off. I got you. You got to get some sleep. Took my shoes and the socks off, as cold as it was. Next thing I know, I saw the wing again, and I just got warm and went to sleep. Woke up, and it wasn't no problem.
Man, you, I'm sure you've been told this before, but I think it would probably be a good idea for you to try and write a book just to kind of document your travels and your story and kind of where life, the direction, the path that you had to take to get where you're at, man. It would be a good story. And, you know, at the end of it, sex always fucking sells. So you got an awesome story to tell, and then y'all get the fucking sex aspect to throw on the tail end of it.
Yeah, sex is, I love sex, man. I mean, I love the smell, the feeling, the aura, the lights, like the camera being all close up in my head. Like, yeah, get that motherfucking angle right there.
So was it, I guess the cameras would be something a little different in the beginning. Did you have a hard time with the cameras at first, or were you just like a natural born performer where you're like, this is my fucking shit. This is what I'm, you know, I got this shit.
The problem I had was that I felt like a slut, and I didn't know if it was good for me to feel like that being a man, because I got in front of the camera and I was just so open.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I was just so Oh yes. Oh my God. Just look at this. You got the cameras ready. You know, but I'm not saying that out loud, but yeah. You know, I'm like, damn, fuck, is you a slut or something, nigga? You like, yo, fuck it, you love it. You know,
kinda
what I mean?
Like kind of pinch it, be like, act like you've been here, act like you know, kinda act like you're not too excited. That's what sometimes, you know, I'll try and my kids, I'll tell them, like, I got a, you know, special fucking, you know, surprise for you. And then I tell them, I know they're excited, but they'll try and, like, play, like, you know, oh, okay. They try and act like they're not excited. But that's kind of how, you know, I would have to be in the same boat where you just, like, in your position, just think to yourself, I got to act fucking cool, man. I got to act fucking cool.
There's times when I'm not going to name no names, but there's times I film with females where I was, like, totally astonished and amazed.
Yeah.
And then for them to feel the same about me was baffling to me. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't feel like no star. Like I'm me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, to hear a star, or my director say, "Yo, you know she wanted to film with you bad. She was." And then for me to see it, and then like, yo, this is so and so, and they want to meet me. Like,
have you developed any connections since you kind of like your rise to fame here? Have you developed any household name connections where you're kind of like on a, you know, maybe a friend's basis with some of these people, some actors or actresses or musicians?
The directors.
Yeah.
Not too many actors, but directors, yeah. And right. Directors and owners, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's good shit, man. I think
throughout my whole life, no matter what realm I was in, if I was in jail, gang, selling stuff or whatever I did, for some reason I always met the bosses.
Yeah.
Like mingle with like the bosses of the thing.
Right.
It was cool with them. I never like really. I noticed throughout my life it was like that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, that's good shit, man. I think. I've gone through all my questions here. You gave me some good shit. You gave me the fucking awesome alien story I wasn't ready for. I never in a million years did I think I was going to go into this interview. Finally. With Brickzilla and say to myself, this guy's got a good fucking alien story. Out of all the shit that we talked about, he's got a good fucking alien story. So I'm glad I got that out of you. And most of all, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for taking the time out to do this interview with me and be on the show. I know you're a busy man with a busy schedule, but you found some time for us, and our listeners are going to be excited to hear from you, man. So your Google searches are gonna go, they're gonna fucking shoot up here in the next few days. promise, so.
Okay, I appreciate that, man.
All right, about
to go down in California, come back up, relax when I seen them all and shit. And you have a dope night, you heard?
All right, boss. I appreciate it. Take care, man.
I won.
All right, see you. There you heard it, guys. That's Brickzilla. What a dude. What an interesting man with an interesting story and an interesting tale to tell. I think, like I said, the Brickzilla himself. Brickzilla needs to write a book, because to go from where he came from, sleeping home. He said he was checking doors. So fucking cold out that he was checking doors to find just a warm spot to stay for the night. And now he's living a plush lifestyle, traveling Florida, California, living every man's dream. And he did it from rags. Good story. So I hope you guys enjoyed our time with Brickzilla. I'm going to send him another message and thank him for the time that he spent with us. And I hope that that was what you guys all waited for. There was probably a lot of questions I could have asked that I missed. But yeah, he was a good dude, good solid story, and he saw a fucking alien on the Brohio podcast. Fucking alien. All right, guys, thanks for listening to this episode, and we'll see you next time. I'm Delicious, Nickalicious, all by myself. Fuck you, Robert. See you guys.